The reason we sing the Veni Creator Spiritus is because this is what's coming. It's the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and what all the charismatics and Pentecostals are praying for is the Spirit that Jesus breathed into Louisa. This great life that our God wants us to have, this abundant life, is shown to us in sacred scripture, of what God did with Adam, as God breathed into Adam this abundant life. This is what he wants to do with us as well. He wants to breathe again into us this great life of the divine will that Adam lost. And so that's why Louisa is the newborn. Louisa is the firstborn of this great gift since Adam. Jesus possessed this gift. Our Lady possessed this gift. And Adam possessed it before the fall. And now that Christ has redeemed us and Our Lady co-redeemed with Christ, now God is going to give us this great gift of the divine will again. And this is the great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon the earth. And Jesus shows us that it is the Spirit that has not been seen. the saints, like what when you read, when you listen to the Dawn of Creation, when you listen to Archbishop Piccieri, he says very clearly that this has never been explained before. The saints give us a hint of this gift, but no one has explained it because he says this is Luisa's role. So today we're going to focus on Luisa and the marriage in the Most Holy Divine Will. And we did this in 2003, but we focused on the... Oh, it's just the coffee pot over there. I'm saying something's going on here. We focused on the mystical marriage. We did this in 2003. But what God wants us to know is, you know, Christ came to earth basically to choose a wife. Remember when God said to Adam, it's not good for Adam to be alone, for man to be alone. And this life that God wants us to possess is the life with God. So Christ came to earth basically to choose a wife. And now we see this in the Old Testament. Jehovah married Israel in the book of Hosea. And if you read the book of Hosea, God asked him to marry Gomer. They had a very stormy relationship. She ran off, took other lovers. But then God said, go and find her. She became a prostitute. She lived a life of a slave. She was sold at auction. And the highest bidder was Hosea, her husband. He bought her for 50 pieces of silver, and then brought her home as his wife. After she left him again and again and again, and he was reconciled to her. And that's us. God has he's proposed to us. He wants us to marry him. Again, to begin to live in the divine will, which you find on February 28th, 1899, Luisa tells us that we must begin this life with the mystical marriage. Okay, God wants us to be married to him. And that's men and women. Each soul is feminine. So guys, you don't have to worry. You can even become a queen, which Jesus says to Luisa he's looking for. But that's our soul. So our soul to God is always feminine. So God wants us to surrender to him, to accept this wedding proposal so that he can rule. Okay, and that's why we have a few things from Isaiah 54. For he who has become your husband is your maker. His name is the Lord of hosts. Your Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, called God of all the earth. I mean, this is your husband. As a young man marries a virgin, your builder shall marry you. As a bridegroom rejoices in his bride, so shall your God rejoice in you. Isaiah 62, verse 5. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 2. I am jealous of you with the jealousy of God himself. This is Paul, St. Paul is saying this. Since I have given you in marriage to the one husband, presenting you as a chaste virgin to Christ. That's St. Paul telling us about our souls being brought to our husband, our spouse. Matthew 26:29. I tell you, Jesus says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until the day I drink it new with you in my Father's reign. Okay, so we have to remember that when a Jewish man falls in love with a Jewish woman, he goes to the family, he presents to the father a contract. Okay, and he pours a cup of wine, and he drinks from it, and he sets the cup in front of the woman. And now if the woman drinks the cup, she has accepted his wedding proposal. Okay, so it's like St. Paul's talking about, the wedding, the vine, the toast to the vine. That's what Jesus did at the Last Supper. Then what happens is the man gets up and he leaves. He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And then I will come back to take you with me. He says this to his bride. And that's what Jesus has said. I'm going away to prepare a place for you. Now he goes back to his father's house. He begins to build the wedding chamber. Okay? The Father knows how to do this. The Father has been there. So it's only the Father knows when the house is going to be ready, when the chamber is going to be ready. And then he can say to his son, you can go back and bring her here. Now, it's the same thing. Jesus says, only the Father knows when I will return. This is what we have to understand. When he was in the Last Supper, he says, I will drink this wine again in the kingdom. This is the grand wedding. This is the wedding feast. This is why Jesus says the kingdom of God is going to be a wedding feast. This is why his first miracle was in Cana. He wants to show us that he is going to marry us and we are going to be one with God. We're not going to be alone. And so those in the divine will, you're never alone. Even if your spouse leaves you or your spouse is gone, you're not alone. Jesus is with you. And this is what we have to understand. We have to get back to that truth of us being one with God. So the best man basically goes, and this is John the Baptist. He must increase, I must decrease, St. John says. Well, the best man, he yells. He's the trumpet. The bridegroom is coming back. He tells everyone, he's coming back to take his wife. Okay, that's what we have to understand. Jesus calls Louisa the trumpet, that this trumpet will be sounded before he returns. And this is what's being, this is why we're reading the book of heaven. We're getting to get ready for the return of Christ. Now you think about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. The foolish virgins bought no oil with them. Okay, and so Jesus is also saying to us, you know, you have to get ready for Christ, but don't be foolish. Don't leave the sacraments. You have the great, today's first Saturday. Make the five first Saturdays. Make the first Fridays. Pray the rosary. Wear the scapula. The church is teaching us, don't be foolish. Keep holy the Sabbath. Make sure Sunday is God's day, not your day. Don't make it another Saturday. Some people say Saturday's the first day of the weekend. Well, no, I'm sorry. The Sunday is the holy day. It's the Lord's day. It's God's day. And we must give it back to him. The other thing, too, is the wedding garment. The whiteness of this linen in whiteness, it means purity. The high priest wore the white linen when he sacrificed. We have to know that this wedding dress means to live in a pure heart, to be one with Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. Remember, with Noah, God says, I could not find another family that was pure. It had a pure line back to Adam and Eve. They were the only ones that did not intermingle with the Nephilim. And you see that in chapter 6 of Genesis. So we have to live this pure life. And that means, what is this pure life? It's the true life of Jesus or the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary, consecrating ourselves to them. So that we can live in this purity, this whiteness that God tells us that we must possess. Remember, they weren't. This one man was invited to the wedding, but he wasn't wearing the wedding gown. He wasn't wearing white. And what does that mean? He was basically outside of what the church has asked. And so we have to be one with the church, one in purity, one with Jesus and Mary. So God is showing us that he has bought us with his contract, and his contract with all was his shedding of his body and blood, shedding of every drop of his blood. He has washed us clean. And as Eve came out of Adam's side, Adam's spouse, the church has come out of Jesus' side. So Jesus is going to marry the church collectively, but also we have to understand individually. We have to have this personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We have to allow him to be our spouse. Okay? So this is the reason why, like Jesus said, John says in 3:29, it is the groom who has the bride. The groom's best man waits here and listens for him and is overjoyed to hear his voice. That is my joy, and it is complete. We have to recognize that Christ is coming back. Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. We've said so for so many years. Revelation, let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For this is the wedding day of the Lamb. His bride has prepared herself for the wedding. We have to prepare ourselves for this grand wedding that our God is asking us to be part of. So we'll begin with volume one. The Lord said to me, go to the confessor and ask the priest for obedience. Okay, so this is one of the, see, we are lambs and we need a shepherd. Okay, you cannot do this by yourself. If you're trying, the St. Teresa says, if you're directing yourself, you will direct yourself into hell. We need the guidance of a confessor, as Louisa did. We need the life that our God wants us to possess. When that is through, again, holy priesthood. If the priest wants you, tell him everything I, Jesus, told you, Louisa, and you will follow whatever he says. Okay, so Jesus is saying you must obey the priest. Okay, so there's some people out there that are saying, you know, the Pope is the anti-Pope. You know, once you say that, you are no longer a Catholic. You have excommunicated yourself from the Catholic Church. If you do not follow the Pope, you have excommunicated yourself. We cannot be shepherdless. We have a great Pope, and if you read what he has said, how clear he is to all of us of what we are called to do. Now, it might not be exactly the way you would do it, but he is the Pope. I think when he stood in the balcony wearing the white, he was saying to the world, I am the Pope. I am the Bishop in White of Fatima. And that means that if you read the Pope in White and Fatima, you know what's coming. He's going to consecrate his pontificate on May 13th to Our Lady of Fatima. This is just astonishing. That means everything is ready. The triumph has begun. You know, and we know that Father Gobi, our Father Gobi says that the triumph will begin in Mexico City. And in Mexico City is where they read the volumes of Louisa, all 36 volumes, for the first time as a community. They knew Italian. They've been studying the volumes in Italian. And after the volumes were taken out of the Vatican, copies were brought to Mexico City, and they read the volumes. And that's why in 1997, Our Lady said, everything is complete. Why? Everything's complete. Everything's ready. Everybody was so excited, but they saw nothing. And a lot of people left the Mary Movement of Priests because nothing happened by 2000. Yet everything did happen by 2000. The triumph began in Mexico City. How? By reading all 36 volumes of Louisa. Then Our Lady said, everything's done. There's everything is ready. What is ready? The volumes are out there. Now, I know there's no official volumes at this point, but the Archbishop says even those that are reading the non-official volumes, he says this in The Dawn of a Mystery, he says they're still being basically transformed by reading these. This is what God is doing. So you will follow whatever he says. So we follow the Holy Father. We make sure that we are faithful Catholics, obedient Catholics, so that the kingdom can be established in us on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus says, see, it will not be only for the good of the creatures that I, Jesus, want these continuous sufferings, but also for your good. So the sufferings that Louisa's, you know, has gone through, which we see in volume one, is good for us as well. We don't have to suffer like Louisa. None of us could stay in bed for 64 years not eating, drinking, or sleeping like she did. Our job is to say fiat. Let it be done to me as you say. And then we have learned from Louisa how to live this life. Little by little, we begin to surrender, be docile, be submissive to what God is asking of us. Jesus says, in the state of suffering, I, Jesus, will purify your soul thoroughly. See, Jesus, that's what he has to do with us as well. So we don't have to go through the great suffering that Louisa did, because none of us could. But in each of our lives, we have a cross, and it's to surrender to God, to begin to live eternity. Our Lady keeps on telling us this, that, you know, the time is going to come to an end. There'll be, if you're not changed by that time, you cannot change. You have to live like this forever. Now, see, Adam lived in eternity. And when Adam sinned, he had to leave eternity and come to earth to be trapped in time and space where the devil was. And this is where we have been. Even though the devil snuck into the garden and tempted Adam and Eve and they fell, he is the Lord of the earth at this point. And Jesus has conquered him, and yet he's trying to destroy all the children of God, trying to destroy everything that God has done. Okay, so our job is to live eternity, to get ready for eternity, because when time comes to an end and the new era begins, heaven will be on earth. That means the devil is banished from the earth. So our job is to live heaven now. Don't wait until you die. You have to begin to live heaven now, so that the kingdom can be established in us and earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus says, he's going to purify Louisa so thoroughly in such a way as to dispose you, Louisa, to form a mystical marriage with me. Okay, so that's where we begin. When we link to Louisa, we will then possess this mystical marriage. See, it's only the mystical marriage is only given to the highest saints, the greatest saints. St. John of the Cross, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Catherine of Siena, these great saints, God has given this mystical marriage to. But Jesus tells us that we have to possess this before we begin to live in the divine will. Now, for us to say that we possess the mystical marriage is presumptuous. There's no way that we can live in it. I mean, I could never become a great saint, you know, with all my faults. But if I'm linked to Louisa, then I possess it. This is why it's so important to know Louisa and go to Louisa, because she has the true life of Jesus and the true life of Mary. This is the life I want. And you can follow the lives of the saints, but they don't compare to what Jesus gave to Louisa, because he says, where all the other saints ended their spiritual life with a mystical marriage, he says to Louisa when she was 17, now I begin your spiritual life. So God wants to give us this mystical marriage when we're linked to Louisa, so that we can begin to live the life of the divine will. After this, I, Jesus, will make the last transformation in such a way that both of us will become like two candles placed on the fire. One is transformed into the other being, the other, and they become one. So it's that drop of water put in the chalice filled with wine. May we share in the divinity of Christ, as Christ humbled himself to share in our humanity. That drop of water, which is nothing, that's us. We drop into the wine, the cup filled with wine. It's fused and diffused and we become wine. We share in divinity. This is what God wants for us. This is why God breathed into dirt. He breathed into dust and said, you know, I make you in my image and likeness, Adam. And Adam lost that image and likeness. When we're on earth, when we're baptized in the Catholic faith, we become in God's image. Now, God wants us to become in his likeness. What the saints have taught us is how to be in God's image. For the last 2,000 years, we've learned this. Now is the time when God wants to share with us how to be in his likeness. That's what the divine will is all about. That's why we learn the round of creation, round of redemption, so that we can begin to live this abundant life. And it looks like you're doing nothing, but in reality, Jesus says to Louisa, you're doing everything. You are possessing what God wanted to breathe into Adam, what he breathed into Adam, this preternatural life. So our God is asking us to, you know, surrender to him. That's what the fiat is. Let it be done to me as you say, so that this kingdom can be established in us on earth as it is in heaven. And this way he transforms us into him. He St. Augustine says, God became man. Why? So man can become God, small g. It's the incarnation reverse. Divinity became humanity without loss of its divinity in the incarnation. And now, with the divine will, humanity is called to divinity without loss of its humanity. It's the incarnation in reverse. Just what St. Augustine told us. So again, these are extraordinary times. The devil does not want us to read. He doesn't want us to read these volumes. This is the book of heaven. This is the language of heaven. We have to learn this. We have to. It has to become part of our life. Jesus says, as you masticate these words, as you eat, devour these words, it's the nourishment of your soul. And if you don't do this every day, you will starve to death. You will die. The gift will be gone. And there's many, many people who have found many beautiful and holy things to do, but did not want the divine will. Because I want to do a devotional life. I want to live a holy life. I want to live a saintly life. That is following in God's image. Jesus is saying, now I want you to be in my likeness. I want more for you. So he's asking us to surrender so that his life can reign in us. And this is, the two become one. This is the marriage that Jesus wants. That will continue for all eternity. It's the God wants to be one with us. He does not want us to be alone. So he's proposed to us. And he's asking us to really surrender so that he can be true Lord of our life. In this way, I, Jesus, will transform myself and you, Louisa, and you, Louisa, will remain crucified with me. Now, whatever Jesus says to Louisa, he wants to do with us as well, her children. She's the mother of the second generation of the children of light. So God wants to transform himself in us, and he wants us to remain crucified with him. What does that mean? It means that no longer does our human will have life. Our human will is crucified with Jesus. What is our human will? We know what our human will is by going to confession. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. This is what I thought. This is what I said. This is what I did. This is what I omitted. I am sorry for this life. That has to be crucified with Jesus. It has to be on the cross with Jesus and never to have life again. Why? Because he wants to give us the resurrection. He wants to give us the glorified state. So if our life is not crucified with Jesus, if our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin is not crucified with Christ, then we will be trapped in time and space for eternity. I would rather enter eternity, the eternal life, the glorified life, than be trapped in time and space. That's where the devil is. The devil, the reason he is who he is because he has separated himself from God. Now God is calling us back to the kingdom. I am going to come back. I'm going to return and take you with me. That's what Jesus promises. So we have to be aware of the time that we're living in. This is an extraordinary time. Why? Because of Louisa. Who is this Louisa Picaretta? Who is she that Jesus has made her, as he called her, the redemptrix of my fiat? Our Lady is the co-redemptrix of redemption, and people hate her for that. They refuse to believe that. The co-redemptrix of redemption, co-redeeming with Christ. Christ is the Redeemer. And that's what St. Paul says. We co-redeem with him. Now Jesus says, I have the redemptrix of my fiat. Louisa Picaretta, which means there is no sanctification without Louisa. There's no outpouring of the Holy Spirit without Louisa Picaretta. That's how important Louisa is. It's an abundant life that the saints do not know of. They have hints of it, but the only one that can explain this life is Louisa with the Book of Heaven. So Jesus says, would you, Louisa, not be happy if you, Louisa, could say, the bridegroom is crucified, but the bride is also crucified? Yes, there is nothing that renders me dissimilar from him. So we have to be crucified with Christ. What is crucified? Our worry, our fear, our anxiety, our complaints, our negativity, our sin. That has to be crucified. You have to live in the peace and the joy and the happiness of the resurrection. John Paul II used to say that quite often. We are a resurrected people. Our joy, our hope, our confidence is in Christ, not in the world situation, not in our family situation, not in the oppression that is most people are going through. Again, they said the highest rate of suicide now is today. 40% of those 10 years ago are now killing themselves. It was 28% 10 years ago. Now it's 40%. people are just committing suicide. Why? Our Lady said that. If you do not have my son, if you do not have me, all you have left is suicide. That's the devil. The devil wants to destroy. So our job is to live this life of peace, joy, and happiness, to live this life of heaven, and no longer, as Our Lady says, the life of earth. I always remember that from the very beginning of my continuous bedridden, my lover Jesus would make himself seen very often, which he had not done in the past. From the beginning, he told me that he wanted me to take on a new way of life in order to dispose myself to that mystical marriage which he had promised me. Okay, this is volume one. This is where you begin with the mystical marriage. But again, we have to get ready for the grand wedding. He has proposed to us. We have to understand we are not alone. He is not going to abandon us. If we have said yes to him, he is coming back for us. Don't worry about what everybody else is worried about. If you're not one with Christ, I would worry. But if you have surrendered to Christ, being docile to Christ, being looking for Jesus, spending time with Jesus in front of the Blessed Sacrament, really praying, those that pray go to heaven, those that don't pray go to hell. If we are really one with Jesus, there's nothing to fear. Now, your family, you're worried about your family? Give them to Jesus and Mary. Consecrate them to the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. And Jesus says to Louisa, if you do what I want, I will do what you want. I have no fear for my family. If they need to be slapped hard, God's going to slap them hard. But I have no fear for them. Because Jesus says, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. Okay, I want them to heaven, but not only them, I want everybody in heaven. I want everybody past, present, and future to be in the kingdom. That's what Jesus wants. So I have to live in the divine will. Now, I'm not there, and nobody is there. But I have to accept this proposal and want it with my whole heart, mind, and soul, seeking it with every ounce of my being, so that this mystical marriage can reign in me so that I can be prepared for the grand marriage. He would say, beloved Louisa of my heart, I, Jesus, have put you, Louisa, in this state so that I, Jesus, might come more freely to converse with you. So again, in our state, it's difficult at times, but why? Because Jesus is getting us ready for this grand wedding, this grand marriage. He's getting us ready. So if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, sinning, then you're not accepting the wedding proposal. We have to live as brides in waiting for the Lord's return. He says, see, I, Jesus, have freed you, Louisa, of all external occupations. That's what he's doing with us. So that not only your soul, but also your body might be at my disposal, so that you, Louisa, might remain in continuous holocaust before me. Okay, crucified with Christ. Never again are you going to breathe in your human will. That's crucified. Only in the divine will I breathe. Come, divine will, come breathe in my breathing. Never again will my heart beat in my human heart again. Jesus, you beat in my heart beating. Come, divine will, come beat in my heart beating. See, everything's crucified with Christ. This is what it means to be in God's likeness, to be like Christ. You have to start with this crucifixion. We have to be on the cross with Jesus. And what is on the cross? Again, all our worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. What is living but the peace, joy, and happiness of the resurrection? This is what God wants for us. Nothing less than that. See, had I, Jesus, not drawn you into this bed, since you, Louisa, would have to carry out your family duties and submit yourself to other sacrifices, I, Jesus, would not come so often to let you share in the offenses, just as I, Jesus, received them. At the most, you would have to wait for that when you had fulfilled your duties. So he put her in bed so that she would not have the duties that everybody else would have. That was the same thing with us. He puts us in situations that might seem uncomfortable. Why? So he can teach us the divine will. We have the time to do it. Okay, so what the Lord is doing is he's saying, I'm taking everything away from you so that I can prepare you for eternity. I'm taking everything away from you so that you can die well on the cross. Your human will has to die there. So that you can, you have to surrender it so that the divine will can reign in you. It's a replacement of your human will. You use your free will to choose. Do I want the divine will to reign in me, or do I want my human will to reign? You choose. And then the more that we surrender, the more that we're docile, the more that we're submissive, the sooner this is going to take place. See, Jesus says, at the most, but now, no, we are free. And there was no one left who may bother us and interrupt our conversation. It's the same thing with us. If you are reading, there's nobody going to interrupt your conversation. Jesus is actually speaking to you through Louisa. Everything that he says to Louisa, he says to you. Would you really want to possess this gift as Louisa possesses it? This is the amazing thing. This belongs to Louisa Picaretta, period. Yeah, Jesus is saying to us, I want to let you share in this share of divinity. Now, Joe just reminded me on the way over here that there will be less people in the divine will than there are saints. Okay, because this is so important to God. Now, on May 12th, the Pope is going to canonize 800 new saints. What John Paul II did in 27 years with 426 saints, the present Pope is going to do in less than 1 year, 800 saints. These are the saints of Italy who were beheaded by the Muslims. If you ever get down, it's the heel of Italy. If you ever get down there, it's south of Corrado. I think it's south of Bari. You can go to the church, and basically you go into the church and you see all their skulls. They were all beheaded because they would not give up the faith. So the first thing the Pope is going to do is consecrate 800 saints who were killed by the Muslims. So I think we're seeing a reality that's even continuing today. He says very clearly, from now on, my afflictions will be yours and yours will be mine. My sufferings will be yours and yours will be mine. My consolations will be yours and yours will be mine. We will unite all things together, and you, Louisa, will take interest in my things as if they were your own. And so I, Jesus, will do with yours. Between the two of us, there will no longer be this is mine and this is yours, but everything will be in common on both sides, like a husband and wife. And it's the same thing. This crucifixion, this is why it's very important to meditate on Christ crucified. It's very important that we spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament to look at Jesus, fall in love with Jesus, adoring him, loving him, praising him, thanking him, glorifying him, truly worshiping God. He is our spouse. And everything that is ours. Everything that ours is his. Do you know how Jesus acted with you, Louisa? Like a king who wants to speak with his queen spouse and she with the other ladies on other affairs. But what does the king do? He takes her and brings her inside his room, then closes the door so that no one may go and interrupt their conversation and hear their secrets. And so once they are all alone, they communicate their consolations and their afflictions to each other. Now, if someone imprudent went to knock and shouting from behind the door and did not leave them alone to enjoy their conversation, would the king not take offense? So, have I, Jesus, done for you, Louisa? In the same way, I would be displeased if someone wanted to remove you from that state. Now, it's the same thing with us. The state that we are in is what Jesus has called us to. And we can't let anybody interrupt this state. You know, I've seen numerous people who have become dissatisfied with the divine will and said, I got to do what I got to do. And God says, fine. And once they leave the divine will, they can't come back. I've heard people say to me, well, I'll be back. But they can't. Because their human will is more important. And Jesus says we have to do it for them. He says because the divine will, the human will is so strong that most people cannot surrender to the divine will. That's your family. That's your friends. That's your neighbors. That's your coworkers. That's even your parishioners. So you have to do it for them. Calm divine will can breathe in my breathing in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future. So that in my name, everyone gives glory and honor and praise for every heartbeat that I have and for all the heartbeats that they have had. For every breath that they have had, for every step, for every eye blink. So what we're doing is we're bringing an explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. Again, this is phenomenal. Our God is asking us, are you willing to possess this gift that I gave to Louisa? Not just to be in God's image, which the saints have shown us, but now to be in God's likeness. I talked to a sister just recently about this, and she basically said to me, well, there's nothing new. Now, she was introduced to the divine will years ago, but because she said she was a sister, she says, I don't believe this. Because if it is true, my life is wasted. So she won't believe in the divine will because her religious life, her life that she prays is more important than surrendering to God's life. Because she's doing what she wants. It's the same thing with us. God is offering this gift to us, and either we surrender to it or we don't. I mean, everything that he's shown us, it's fiat. It's waiting on the Lord. It's saying, let it be done as you say. As Louisa waited in her bed for 64 years, she just surrendered. She said yes. Now, this is what we're learning for Louisa. Yes, okay. Now, you're not in bed yet. There'll be a time when you'll have to be there, I'm pretty sure. But right now, it's Lord, let it be done as you say. Total docility, total surrender, living eternity. So he says, so he continued to tell me, from you, Louisa, I want perfect conformity to my most holy divine will. That's what he says to us as well, perfect conformity. In such a way that your will may be undone within mine, your human will may be undone within mine. The absolute detachment of everything, so much so that I, Jesus, want all that is earth to be considered by you as dung and rot, which one is horrified by just looking at it. Okay, so this is what you have to understand. The attachments of the world, we have to understand, are dung and rot. Where we are supposed to be is eternity in the kingdom. So God has shown us little by little, you know, through the saints, like St. Francis, little by little showed us how to be docile and surrendered and not want the things of the earth, the flesh, and the devil. But Jesus wants more than that from us. He wants us to be horrified to look at it. And this is because even though one were not attached to earthly things, just by having them around and looking at them, they cast a shadow on the celestial things and prevent the fulfillment of that mystical marriage which I, Jesus, promised you. So we want the things of heaven, no longer the things of earth. So again, we're going to go through physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, and financial struggles, fiat. We have to just let go of them. Why? To embrace the things of heaven. Even more, I, Jesus, want that just as I, Jesus, was poor, you also may also imitate me in my poverty. You, Louisa, must consider yourself in this bed as a little poor one, and the poor are content with anything they have, and they first thank me, and then they thank their benefactors. So again, whatever you're going through is fiat. I mean, look at your life. What are you complaining about? That has to be fiat. You have to surrender. Lord, thank you. Thank you that I have nothing. I can be more like you. Thank you for those that help me. I can be more like you. The same for you, Louisa. Go along with everything that is given to you without asking for this and that, which might be a hindrance in your mind. Okay? But with holy indifference, without thinking of whether it may be do good or bad, comply with the will of others. So, again, what the Lord is asking of us is to live heaven on earth. It doesn't matter what's happening. Have a holy indifference to it. But to live the peace, the joy, the happiness of God. So we'll end there in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.